Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. Well, I haven't preached for about 5 weeks here. Some of you might go, yay, brilliant. And I'm going to sit down, take it easy like you guys. Is that all right? Since being here, or speaking last, anyway, I was here last week, we've been to the States, had a great time over there with Aaron Jane and his church, and God's doing a great work there, so it was a real privilege to go and be with him for 12 days. I've been all over, I've been a few places in this country doing various things, various leaders' forums, other meetings I've been speaking at, and I would say God is doing something new in our nation. There is a new release of the Spirit that is taking place in the church in this nation. And we are in a new day and a new time. So we're not just looking for something to happen down the road and one day we'll get there. God is doing something new today in the church. And I met with some leaders from, about 20 leaders from the different streams of churches around the country and one or two sort of senior denominational leaders a couple of weeks ago. And we spent about 2 hours talking about the Holy Spirit and revival. Now, in that context, that's not the kind of conversation that generally has taken place before. And people were kind of just, there was a new hunger in the room. There was more of an openness to let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Everybody was acknowledging there was a fresh release of the Holy Spirit in their streams, in their networks, in certain denominations. And for some in the room, having known them for a few years, do not like the word revival and do not talk about revival because they just feel it's very selfish, self-centered, you know, for the church just to want revival because of their understanding of it. But yet, in that meeting or that first couple of hours, their whole mindset had changed as to what revival is, what God wants to do. That it's not just a hot spot that God does for a moment, but it's about totally transforming the church, which ends up being a transformation in society. One or two people shared how the Holy Spirit has just fallen in their churches in a new way, in a way they've never known before, and something new's taking place and everything. So it was exciting to kind of be with those guys and hear what God's doing, and obviously we shared some stuff And we're in a new day in this nation. And at the same time, whenever the Holy Spirit, if you look through the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit moves, the word of God spreads. Yes. We need to understand that in our thinking, when there's a move of the Holy Spirit, it's not just the Holy Spirit that gets released. When you read through the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit moves and the word of God spreads. The people of God are bold. People of faith, they encounter God, but they go with the word, they preach the gospel everywhere. Then what you find is signs and wonders accompany what is going on. And you see people set free, miracles taking place because the word of God is spreading and the word will only work, the Holy Spirit will only work with the word of God. But you also find as the word of God spreads and you read through the book of Acts, there was opposition. And ultimately, there was persecution that really rose and took place. And so they continued to pray. The more they prayed, the more they were scattered, the more the word of God spread, the more fruitfulness, the more of God that was released, the more the kingdom extended. But there was just as much opposition and persecution that took place. So, you know, there are things going on at the moment in our society, and we know the issues that are being talked about in the news and various things. And, you know, we can either get upset about those things and kind of moan about them, or we can just say, well, we live in a society and in a culture that doesn't follow God in the way that we want it to. But God has called us to be a people that stick out, that jut out. Not on a soapbox, but a people that are living something that is seen, that is evidenced by our friends, our neighbours, our work colleagues, people in the community that we live in. We have a gospel that we preach, and the gospel is good news. Our gospel that we preach is not one that points the finger, that says we're right, you're wrong. The gospel is good news to people, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in people to convict them, to show them what is not right or what is of God and what isn't. Our job is to live the gospel, and our job is to share the gospel, preach the gospel, demonstrate the gospel. And the gospel must be demonstrated with signs and wonders, with evidence. It can't just be words that are spoken. In the book of Acts, again, where the Holy Spirit was moving, the word of God spread. And then there was a demonstration of the word in action. And it's great to have words of knowledge in the meeting and like the Achilles that got healed and other things. And it's brilliant. We need to see more and more of that. But God has empowered you and me, all of us, He's empowered all of us with His Holy Spirit to live a dimension of life out in our everyday lives in a way that brings the evidence of God, the tangibility of God into situations. So we're going to look this morning as part of our whole theme of the life of the Spirit. We're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit this morning. There's a lot to pack into about 35 minutes, but we'll have a go. And so we can't go into loads of depth with what we're going to talk about today. But I believe God wants to help activate and release faith in every one of us to see what we have and what is at work in us, what can be released through our lives in very everyday situations. So let's turn to, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians, the kind of chapters 12, 13 and 14. We're going to be looking at those this morning. But just to give a little bit of context, Pastor Colin last week spoke about the nature and the character of the Spirit. And he spoke about abiding and remaining in the vine, and that we are grafted into the vine. And the life in that vine is obviously the life of God, but the life in that vine is the life of the Spirit at work in us. And that if we are grafted into that vine, if we're abiding in the vine, if we're abiding in relationship with Jesus, then His life is flowing through us. Then the Holy Spirit produces the nature and the character of God in our lives as we walk with Him and as we abide in Him, as we remain in Him. Now, as a context, now, as we come to the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are not separate things here from the fruit of the Spirit in terms of they're just gifts that are activated in different ways. The gifts of the Spirit, as we're going to look at, really flow out of that relationship that we have with God, as we're going to see in a few moments. So if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to read a few things there in a few moments. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are really manifestations or expressions of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in John 10, verse 27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So ultimately, the gifts of the Spirit are activated by the Holy Spirit, but how effective, in one sense, they're activated through our lives is in relationship with the relationship we have with God and how we're walking with God. Because ultimately, the gifts of the Spirit are essentially listening or hearing God and then releasing that or speaking that or seeing that activated through our lives out of what God is speaking to us, okay? In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7, Paul says, "You do not lack any spiritual gift." And he's speaking there at the beginning of Corinthians to set a context where the gifts of the Spirit or the workings of the Spirit or the manifestation of the Spirit or the expressions of the Holy Spirit are there to manifest or to work amongst you corporately as a body, as a church. But they are also in every one of you so that everyone can be activated or everyone can be manifesting in the right way, not negatively. Everybody can be seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the workings of the Holy Spirit expressed through all of their lives. So what we're going to read in a moment, it's not that the Holy Spirit gives some people one gift and other people another gift and others a different gift. The Holy Spirit gives all of these nine gifts we're going to look at in every believer, because they are gifts of the Spirit. And when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same with the fruit of the Spirit. You don't just manifest or express one or two fruits of the Spirit and not others, because the fruit of the Spirit is the nature and the character of God. So he wants all of those to be expressed in our lives. In the same way, he wants all of us to be expressing these nine gifts of the Spirit that we're going to be looking at. It's just us understanding and learning how to activate each gift in the appropriate setting or moment that the Holy Spirit wants to express something in relation to something specific that he wants to do. Are you with me? I'm trying to keep up with myself here. So let's have a look, shall we? Or let's give it another thing before we read that, sorry. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. I love this verse. Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So what we're going to speak about this morning, God wants you and me to eagerly desire to be moving in, operating in, expressing these spiritual gifts this morning. Or not just this morning, but in our lives. And then he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So he says, follow the way of love. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul begins that chapter with a whole understanding of what love is. And if we don't do things in love, it's just like a clashing cymbal, a sounding gong. It means nothing and it comes to nothing. So the context of this is to be done in love. But the context of these chapters, 12, 13 and 14, are really in the context of the gifts of the Spirit or the workings of the Spirit being expressed in the life of the church, but also how they're to be expressed in our personal lives. So let's have a look. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, when you didn't know God, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Remember the context he's speaking into, a lot of false idols that were made of stone or wood or whatever that people worshipped. And he's saying, look, there's no life in those things. You gave yourself to those things, but now you've been saved from those things. You've now been given something else to replace that that's going to produce life. Therefore, verse 3, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Note what Paul is saying here. But the same God works all of them in all men. So all that the Holy Spirit is, he wants to work in all of us in this room, in the church. Because you receive all of the Holy Spirit when you get born again. And you certainly receive all of the Holy Spirit in terms of what gets activated when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to be looking at is available to everybody this morning to be operating in these things. What we operate in or what we live in as a Christian is really down to what we believe we have. Yeah. So what you believe you have, what you believe you have received, you will operate in, you will live in, you will activate in your life. So the gifts of the Spirit are not something that we're waiting for the Holy Spirit to activate in our lives one day. Well, I haven't got the gift of tongues. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to activate that. I don't have the gift of prophecy. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit. No, when you've received the Holy Spirit, you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And really, all of these things get activated by faith, which we'll come back to in a few moments. Verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the nine things we're going to look at this morning are here for the common good. These are not for ourselves to consume. This is all spoken in the context of edifying, building up the body and encouraging and strengthening the body. So all these gifts are here for the common good for all of us. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healings, that's plural in the Greek, by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. And to another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, primarily what Paul is speaking about and what the context of it is how these are activated in the life of the church. But also, we want to operate in these things in our everyday lives, because we know the enemy is out to lie to you and to me. He wants to trip us up. He wants to knock us off course. He wants us to cause us to doubt, to disbelieve what the word is, who we are in Christ, all of those things. He wants to oppose us, come against us. So some of these things we're going to look at, these are to help us keep in track, walk, keep in step, and to walk in the things of the Spirit. And we're going to do that as the life of the Spirit is at work in us, and as we abide and remain in him, as we heard last week, that we're going to move in the things of the Spirit. So there are different gifts, different service, different workings. There are different manifestations, and they produce different things. But all of us want to be operating in these things, because this is what's going to build up, edify, strengthen the church. These things help us to keep in step with the Spirit and not go off track, not get deceived. They enable us to walk together as one body, as one people. And there's three ways in which we're going to unpack these nine gifts to help us to understand how they work in the life of the church and how they get released in our lives. So we're going to take three kind of gifts at a time. And the first three we're going to look at, we're just going to put under the kind of heading of declaration gifts. Okay, these three things initially are kind of declaration of God speaking or God's purpose or message. The first one is prophecy. The next one is tongues. And the next one will be interpretation of tongues. Okay. And we're going to look at these three together. And these are really what are called more the declaration gifts within the gifts of the Spirit. So let's have a look at prophecy first of all. In 1 Corinthians 14:31. So in these few chapters here, Paul says, you can all prophesy so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. So we're not talking about the office of a prophet this morning. We're not talking about the prophet. We're talking about the gift of prophecy. And Paul says, all of you, everyone can prophesy so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Chapter 14, verse 3. Again, he says, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their encouraging, strengthening, and comfort. Okay, so prophecy, the gift of prophecy is to encourage, to strengthen, to build. If it's to encourage, the word encourage means to put courage into somebody. Yeah. Discourage is to take courage out of somebody. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody who puts courage into people. Because we're encouraging and building up. That's what the gift of prophecy is to do in the life of the church. It's primarily to encourage, build up, edify, to put courage in people, to go with God, to believe God, to be encouraged by God. And as we heard that scripture for the children this morning, God likes you and all of that. That's to encourage, to build up, to strengthen, to say, hey, this is what God is like. And that what that does, it stretches you towards God to say, God, I want to know you more. Whereas discourage says to people, I want to move away from God because that makes it sound like God doesn't like me or doesn't want to know me. So the gift of prophecy is to encourage, to build, to strengthen. A prophecy basically is a message from God to a person or to a people through a person communicating God's heart and purpose. There's probably other ways of describing prophecy, but I've just written it like that. It's a message from God given to a person or to a people through a person communicating God's heart and purpose. Okay? So we just leave it there for a moment. That it's there to edify, build up, and encourage. The gift of prophecy here in this context is not to tell people to go off to Timbuktu as a missionary or to do this, that, and the other. It's not directive prophecy. It's encouraging, strengthening. It will be confirming, but it's to encourage and strengthen. Okay. Now we just link that, okay, with the next part of the declaration gift. So when somebody prophesies, you're declaring something. You're speaking something. Something's going to get activated. Faith is one part, which we'll come to in a moment. The second declaration gift is the gift of tongues. Now, in this context, Paul is primarily talking about tongues in a public context. He's not really at this moment talking about the gift in terms of your personal use of tongues in your prayer life, okay? He's really here talking about how the gift of tongues is used in a public context, whether in a meeting like this or in a life group, in a smaller context or whatever. It's in a public thing rather than your own personal use at this moment. And so the gift of tongues is really a message, again, from God to a person or to a people in a language that is unknown to them. Let's just unpack this a little bit. Chapter 14, verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three, it must be done one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. So Paul is saying here that if anyone's going to speak in a tongue publicly, now that doesn't mean that's different from everybody singing in tongues or praying in tongues together. If I just sat here and spoke in tongues to you, you're going to sit there going, what are you talking about? It's not exactly going to edify you if I just sat here and spoke in tongues to you for 25 minutes. You know, you'd be sitting there going, okay, Holy Spirit, I need the interpretation. What is it? And Paul says, if you speak in tongues in that way, if you don't give the interpretation, don't speak in tongues. It's the wrong context to do it. He then goes on to say, let's have a look in 1 Corinthians 14, 23. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, they will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all. And the secrets of his heart will be laid bare, so he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really amongst you. Then it says in verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, I'd probably say out of these nine gifts, the gift of tongues is probably the least, in terms of publicly, the least used in a lot of contexts, along with probably the gift of discernment, which we'll come to in a little while. But what Paul is saying here is the gift of prophecy is to encourage, to strengthen, to build, to edify, to move the church forward together. The gift of tongues or a public giving of tongues is to do the same thing as long as it has an interpretation with it that gives understanding. Now notice the word here is interpretation, not translation. How many of you have been in a meeting or a setting somewhere where somebody's given a tongue, as in they've spoken in a tongue, a language from God, and then somebody has interpreted that, but the interpretation has been much longer than the length the person spoke in tongues. I don't know if you're sitting there thinking, hang on, that guy spoke in tongues for 30 seconds, but he's been prophesying for 5 minutes. Hasn't he gone overboard? Hasn't he kind of gone too far? Or sometimes the other way around, there's been a tongue that's been really long, but yet the interpretation has been quite short. Now, you've got to understand, it's not a translation. It talks about an interpretation. An interpretation is bringing the thoughts and the intent of what the tongue was and giving that understanding so that people can understand what has been given. Okay? So, like, I don't know, I've been to Germany a few times, spoken there, and you have somebody translating for you, or supposed to be translating anyway. And when you say something in English, it seems to take twice as long in German. And the first time I went there and spoke, you know, I said something, and then I'm standing there thinking, are they preaching their own message? Right, did I say all of that? You know, and it was like that for the whole message. And I thought, I'd just give him a, you know, so you spoke and you kind of... Okay, he's finished now. Right, the next thing you want to say. And I said to the person afterwards, I said, wow, there's a, you know, what, not what was going on there, but I just had a chat with him. He said, wow, it seems to take a long time to translate English. Is what I was saying not very good or what? And he said, no, he said, to translate from your English into German, we have to put things in a different way. So I'm... As much I am translating what you're saying, but I'm actually interpreting what you're saying because there are different ways of saying what you said in German. So I'm kind of explaining the whole thought and intent of what you're saying and putting it in a way that makes sense for somebody who's German. So I'm like, great. That's what it's like. I haven't got a clue. I just have to trust that what he's saying is obviously. I did have a moment in one country where I was preaching and I said something and the guy was speaking in, well, I won't tell you what language because somebody they might hear this. But anyway, I didn't understand a word that he was saying. And I said something, then he was supposed to obviously translate what I said. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit said to me, he didn't say what you said. So I turned to the guy and I said, did you say what I've just said? And he went, no. So I said, why not? And this is in front of like 800 people in this meeting, okay? I said, why not? And he said, because I don't agree with you. And I said, and I kind of put my, I, you know, put my mic away. I said, I don't care whether you agree with me or not. I said, you're translating. You preach what I say and I will sort it out afterwards, right? So... But it was like the Holy Spirit said, he did not say what you've just said. Now, I think if the Holy Spirit agreed with me and not him, he wouldn't have said to me, he didn't say what you said. So afterwards, we had a little chat and we got the Bible out and I said, mate, let's just read a couple of verses, you know, anyway. So I said, even if you don't agree with me, the Holy Spirit knows that and he let me know. So anyway, it changed from then. So, but a gift of tongues is, man, we're going to run out of time today, is a gift that is to build up, edify and strengthen the body. And then it needs the interpretation. So let's have a look, because this is the third one. Interpretation is expressing the thought and intention of the tongue given. It's an interpretation, not a direct translation. Okay, so we've kind of covered that one. We've explained the difference in length. Now, those three gifts, prophecy, tongues and interpretation, they're like declaration gifts. There's something God wants to declare, something God wants to say to a person or to a people. And so they operate in that way, okay? Let's just have a look at the next lot of three. Let's just call these the dynamic gifts, or these are things that can release something to happen, okay? The dynamic gifts of faith, gifts of healings, and miraculous powers or miracles. Faith is basically, the gift of faith is something that God gives for a particular situation. Okay, it's a supernatural impartation of faith or belief and confidence for something specific to take place. Now, some of you, many of you probably in the room have had a moment like that for different things. And when I was growing up, I had eczema really badly. One night, every night I just prayed and asked God to heal me. And one night I was about 11, 12 years old, something like that. And I got into bed, and as I lay there, a load of thoughts went through my mind that now you'd say was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I'd understand that. And he basically said, this eczema is not yours, it's mine. I've taken it to the cross. You're healed. Now, at that moment, there was a release of faith that activated in me. And from that moment on, that's it. It's done. I'm healed. So I received a gift of faith at that moment to receive what God had already done. Up to that moment, I'd been asking, but it got to the point where suddenly God spoke to me and I received a gift of faith. Jane and I, years ago, one example, when a particular car we bought, we prayed and said, and asked the Lord, and God spoke to us and said something specific to us. And when he spoke to us, it was like it was ours. It was like it was sitting out the driveway, even though it wasn't there yet. And we didn't even talk to him about the money, but we knew that's it. It's ours. It's a done deal. That's the gift of faith. when God speaks and you receive it. Now, that's different from the general dynamic of faith that you live in. You build faith by getting into the Word, by getting to know God, and that dynamic and level of faith grows in your life. But here, the gift of faith is for something specific to take place in a specific situation that you need to happen, okay? Then you've got, so there's a release of faith, if you like. Then you've got gifts of healings, plural. What is gifts of healings? This is the supernatural release of something divine to take place, like divine health we just talked about for me with this eczema 2 weeks ago. Word of knowledge about Achilles tendons. At that moment, you see, we'll come to this in a few moments, but there's several gifts of the Spirit all working together to see something happen. A word of knowledge was given. I didn't know somebody was here with dodgy Achilles heels, but the Holy Spirit did. So he said, I want to heal somebody this morning that's got problems with their Achilles heels. So a word of knowledge was given. Someone was given that I did not know anything about. Faith was activated. The gift of faith was activated in which whoever it was. And then the gifts of healings was released by the Holy Spirit. Boom, somebody got healed. So they work together in that way, okay? God does not give somebody the gifts of healings. That's occultic. The occult has gifts of healings. The person, I am a healer. No, Jesus is the healer. So the Holy Spirit activates healing through believers, okay, through gifts of healings. It's the Holy Spirit that does the healing, does the work. So gifts of healings were released through a word of knowledge. Faith was activated, somebody received. That's the gifts of healings being activated. Do you understand that? So somebody does not have the gift of healing. Okay, just remember that. So if you're having a meeting and somebody said, come forward if you believe you've got the gift of healing, we're going to pray for you to have the gift of healing. That is not the Holy Spirit. Don't respond to that, okay? That's occultic, that kind of thing. Because then you walk around saying, I have the gift of healing. I am a spiritual healer. No, you're not. Jesus is the healer in that respect, okay? So the third part is miraculous powers of these dynamic gifts. A divine intervention that alters or changes circumstances, signs and wonders confirming the preaching of the gospel. Now, God's been challenging me over the last few weeks. And I've been reading through the first few chapters of Acts and just going through some stuff in there. And this is where when the Holy Spirit moved, the word of God spread. And people were getting saved. The number of disciples was increasing. Miraculous signs and wonders were taking place. And there was opposition and persecution. It's all part of it. God's been challenging me. It's like every time the gospel was preached, signs and wonders, miracles, healings, the supernatural was released every time. It's like there was never the preaching of the gospel without signs accompanying. Sometimes there were signs and wonders done first before the preaching of the gospel. But whenever signs and wonders were done, there was always then the gospel that was preached afterwards. Now, I believe God wants to encourage us, but challenge us as a church and as believers here, because it's very easy to think, well, hang on a minute, that person has a ministry of healing, or that person has faith. But these gifts are for all of us to be operating in. So the gifts of healings are for all of us to see work through our lives. Miraculous powers or signs and wonders are for all, because it talks about all the believers here. That's pretty good, isn't it? So that means the Holy Spirit is in you to do a number of things. The Holy Spirit is in you to reveal more of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in you to activate faith in your life. The Holy Spirit is in you to activate all the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So, man, you're dangerous, you're danger on two legs, you know what I mean? In terms of, no wonder the enemy hates us, because the devil understands what we have and who we are in Christ. He knows the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. He understands the things of God. The devil knows every word that is written in this book. And he knows if this is written on the inside of us, which it is, because the Spirit brings life to this in us. And so if the Holy Spirit is at work in you and me, then everything in this word that is of God, which all of it is, can be activated in us. Therefore, the enemy is afraid of you and me, especially if we are activated and we operate and move in the things of the Spirit. Anyway, we've got to move on because it's 5 to 12. Okay, last three. Let's call the last three the discerning gifts. Okay, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. So words of wisdom, what are they? Words of wisdom are insight and understanding so that we can know what to do in a situation or what we need to say. Words of wisdom, words that bring light, words that bring understanding. It's like the light going on. You know, when somebody gives a word of wisdom, you go, oh yeah, why didn't I think of that? Because when God speaks, it's like, oh yeah. When you have revelation, you suddenly see it and it's like, why didn't I see that before? That's what the words of wisdom do. They enlighten, they give insight, they give understanding to know what to do or what to say. So you've probably had a lot more words of wisdom than you realize in your life. When you're praying, when you're talking to God, when you're reading the word, God speaks. Maybe you've got a journal, a diary, and every day you're writing it. And you write down things that you say. There'll be a lot of words of wisdom in what you're writing down. Because the Holy Spirit is revealing stuff, speaking to you, and giving you wisdom as to know what I need to do today in this situation. Or what do I need to say? How do I need to handle this? And that's words of wisdom that God is giving you. But also those words of wisdom can be activated to other people. So that the light comes on in their lives. Okay, let's have a look at words of knowledge. Words of knowledge are God-given understanding or information about a situation or about a person that you knew nothing about. So word of knowledge, the one about the Achilles heel a couple of weeks ago. It was a word of knowledge, understanding and information about somebody in the room that God knew, but I didn't know, but he wanted to help somebody receive. And so he used the word of knowledge to activate faith to enable them to receive their healing. Now, if that can happen in a meeting, that can happen in a life group. That can happen when you go and visit your friends at lunchtime today. That can happen at work this week. That can happen in your life. Why? Because it's the gift of the Holy Spirit in operation in your life and in my life. When you read the Gospels, Jesus was moving in the gifts of the Spirit all the time. Let's have a look at the next one. The last one here is discerning of spirits. This is distinguishing between what is true and what is false, what is of the Spirit and what is not of the Spirit. It's really discerning or distinguishing what is of God and what isn't, and also helps us to know what is of the Spirit and what is soulish in our own lives. Now, Jesus constantly moved and operated in these things. Remember the verse where it talks about he knew the thoughts of every man? Yeah. What was he doing? That was discernment. Yeah. He was discerning the thoughts. He knew the thoughts. He was discerning. And often he would then ask them a question, even though they didn't ask it, because he knew their thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So he was discerning what was going on. God was giving him, if you like, words of knowledge about their thinking, what was in their mind, what was going on. And that kind of thing. And therefore, he asked a question. So these are the discerning gifts, if you like, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Now, you probably operate and move in a lot of these gifts more than you realize. It's just that we don't necessarily put tags on them in our normal everyday lives. When we're in a meeting and somebody starts to do something, somebody gives a few words of knowledge, you might stand there and go, well, I'd love to do that. But all somebody's doing is just hearing something from God. And the way then that is expressed is as a word of knowledge. So if I was to prophesy now, what am I doing? I'm just hearing God. And then I'm just saying what God has said. But it's a prophecy because God wants to strengthen, encourage and build the believer. So the words that are going to come out are going to be encouraging and edifying and building up. If God wanted to give me a word of knowledge, the words that come out of my mouth would be different than if it was a prophecy. Words of knowledge would be information about something he wants to do in somebody's life at that moment. But what is it? It's basically hearing God. So some people in the room, you say, yeah, but I don't get prophecies because I'm not really prophetic. You don't have to be. What on earth does it mean to be prophetic? If you've got the Holy Spirit, you can prophesy. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can hear the voice of God. Because my sheep, they listen to me, and because I know them, they hear my voice. So if you're a sheep, what do sheep do? They follow. If you're following Jesus, if you're abiding and remaining in him, you can hear his voice. Therefore, you can prophesy. Does that make you prophetic? Any believer who is filled with the Spirit is prophetic. That doesn't mean you're a prophet. But God has called us as the church to be a prophetic people. So I'm just trying to help you here. You know, we just need to earth a lot of this stuff, because sometimes we put it up here, the spiritual gifts, and we're like, whoa, you know, that guy, he's really prophetic, isn't he? Well, no, he's just heard God. He's just listened to God and communicating what God's saying. Well, he's got a real anointing for healing. Okay. But he's hearing God and just doing it. And he's got faith for it as well. But a lot of these things go together. So don't sit there, you know, or think in your life, well, you know, it's all right for Pastor Clive to have words of knowledge, you know, but I'm not that kind of person. None of us are those kind of people. It's the person of the Holy Spirit in us activating the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. And these are gifts for all of us to be, all of us to be manifesting. That's good. Now, there can be an anointing on people's lives that people seem to operate more in some gifts than others, absolutely. And that's to do with anointing and grace on somebody's life, to do with how God wants to use them and work through their lives, okay? So it might be that somebody tends to give a lot more prophetic words and on all of that than they might do, tongues and interpretation or something, or a different gifting. But others of you might find you operate in other things more than others, and that's not a problem. But what God, I believe, really wants to get a hold of is, it's not like, well, the gifts I operate in are tongues and prophecy. That's what I do. I don't do the others. Why not? Because there might be a situation when you're at work and somebody needs a word of knowledge and you're the only one there. And the Holy Spirit's going, oh, yeah, Peter doesn't do words of knowledge, does he? No. So we can't use him, can we, in the workplace? He's the wrong guy. We put the wrong bloke in the wrong job. Oh, we made a mistake. Oh, no. You know, so the Holy Spirit knows, actually, Peter's there. He's full of the Spirit. That bloke in his workplace, I want to speak to him, and Pete's the only one there. And actually, how I want to speak to that guy is, I want to tell Peter something about that bloke that Peter doesn't know, but that's going to unlock that guy's life, because I want to give him a word of knowledge. I don't want to prophesy to the guy. I want to tell him a bit of information about him that he's going to say, how do you know that? And Peter's going to say, well, actually, I'm a Christian and I believe that God speaks to people today and he's real. And I'm just sharing what I believe God has kind of put on my heart that he wanted to kind of say to you today. Yeah. You don't have to say, well, God's just given me a word of knowledge, mate. Because your mate at work's going to be like, right, cool. See you later, mate. You know? So you put it in, that's where wisdom comes in, the gift of wisdom. So you're wise as to how you need to put it and all of that, okay? But you've got the Holy Spirit in you. So I believe one of the things God wants to say is, let's be more dependent on the Holy Spirit in our lives, eh? Because God wants to use all these gifts of the Spirit to build up, edify all of us as a body. You can activate these a lot more in your life groups and in those settings than you can here on a Sunday. Paul covers some of this stuff earlier on that we looked at in Corinthians 1 Corinthians 14, how you use some of the gifts in a public setting. Because he said, if you've got unbelievers or people that don't understand, he's saying, don't do certain things. So there are some things you do in a bit more of a mature context, or a context where you can train and equip and help people to get activated in those things. So he's not saying don't have a tongue, give a tongue in public, but make sure there's an interpretation if you do. Because people need to understand what's going on in that sense. So How many of you are born again in here? How many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit in here? So you have all these manifestations, workings, gifts in you this morning. You might not ever have had a word of knowledge. And in your mind, maybe there's a block. I've had some prophecies, but I've never had a word of knowledge. God, you know. Well, at the end of the day, all you're just hearing God. You're just listening to God. I've never had discerning of spirits. You probably have. You go into a shop and you walk around a shop and you're like, I don't really like the atmosphere in here. What's that? It's discerning of spirit. You're discerning the atmosphere, the vibe that's going on. You meet somebody, maybe it's at work in a business context or at work or somebody. Somebody comes in, yes, you've got to work with them, but where you're working with them, you're in a meeting, but there's something you're picking up where you're like, well, I don't, you know, I've got to work with this guy, but there's something that, what are you doing? You're discerning something that's going on in them. You're not comfortable with something. You might not know exactly what it is, or you might be, as you're discerning, you get this sense of, I don't know if I can trust this guy. Now, then you might need some wisdom. Okay, if I've got to work with this guy, because he works with another company and I've got to work with him, I need some wisdom then as to how I'm going to work with him. If I get this sense from the Holy Spirit, don't trust him. I need some wisdom then. Holy Spirit, I need wisdom then how to work with this guy. If I've got to work with him, I've been told by my boss I have to work with this guy from this company who's coming in for 3 weeks or whatever to work with us, and we've got to work it out. So, Father, I need some wisdom here then. Do you know what I mean? So this is how all this kind of stuff can work in our lives. In a very tangible, real way. And so you're saying, God, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in me. Thank you that I've got wisdom. And in James chapter 1, it says, if you lack wisdom, then you're to ask, and God gives. But when he gives it, don't doubt. And don't be like something that's thrown around. But don't doubt, but believe that you've received, you know, the wisdom that you need. And so these things are to be activated in very real situations. Now, what would it look like if we all operated and moved in these things in the life of the church? And be awesome, wouldn't it? So faith activates this lot in your life. What does faith do? Faith takes hold of what has already been given. Faith takes hold of what has already been released. So we can be much more active, I believe, in the life of the church here, in the friendships you've got, in your life groups, in just what's going on, to activate these things. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 14, the first verse? He said, let me show you the way of love. But then he said, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gifts of prophecy. Why prophecy? Because ultimately prophecy builds up, edifies, encourages. The biggest thing we can do is encourage each other, motivate, inspire one another to go forward in the things of God. And so that's why he says, you know, especially to prophesy and, you know, one-to-one or encourage or in a public context because of what it releases in the church. Let's stand together, shall we? If we could have the band up, that'd be brilliant. So we've been talking about the life of the Spirit overall over the last few weeks. And part of the life of the Spirit are the gifts of the Spirit. So how many of you know this morning that you have all 9 gifts of the Spirit? All right, you might say, well, I've never spoken in tongues, or I've never had this. That's fine. And we haven't got time to activate loads of stuff today. But what we need to understand is most of those gifts are to do with hearing God. And then, well, they are all actually about hearing God. Some of you have been saying, God, I'd love to see people healed. Well, you have the Holy Spirit in you to enable gifts of healings to be released through your life. The only way you're going to see somebody healed is by stepping out and having a go. Same with having a prophecy or a word of knowledge or whatever it is. And so this morning, our response is really just to say, okay, Father, I want to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. The Bible says it. So we can be, I heard somebody one day say, let's be greedy for the gifts of the Spirit. As in, not greedy for self-indulgence, for myself. I want all these gifts. But let's be, come on, God. You know, your word says eagerly desire. It says eagerly desire, go after, want them. So this morning, God says, come on, want the gifts of the Spirit. Want these things to be activated. The manifestation of who I am in you you know, eagerly desire, be hungry, if you like, or greedy or whatever, you know, for those things to be activated and released in your life. What do you reckon? Because if life is released, when these things are released in us, then stuff's going to be happening in other people's lives. And what's the kingdom principle? The more you give, the more you receive. So if you're like, God, I want words that help me, you know, to have words of knowledge in the appropriate situation, or to be discerning, or whatever it is, to these gifts to be activated in me, and God's going to make sure that you get encouraged. He's going to make sure somebody rocks up into your life and gives you a prophetic word that encourages you, strengthens you. Somebody's going to come along. It could be on a Sunday morning in a life group. Somebody has a word of knowledge, and you've been operating in words of knowledge. But as you've been giving, God knows how to give back. Is that okay? So let's just lift our hands to the Lord this morning. Just thank Him, first of all, that you have every gift of the Holy Spirit. You have the gifts of the Spirit that we've been looking at this morning. Just thank Him. You have all nine of those gifts. Father, I thank you that in this room, every one of us are pregnant with the gifts of your Spirit, with the life of your Spirit. Father, I thank you for the spirit of faith being released this morning as we've been looking at your word, that every one of us would begin to move and operate in the gifts in a new way, in a stronger way, in a more dynamic way, in a more discerning way, in a more activated way, in our everyday lives, in our workplaces, in our homes, in the everyday settings of life, but also in the life of the church, Father, that these things will be activated in a greater way. Father, help us to see that when we're in our life groups, when we're doing life together, you don't just want it to be a chat and a cup of tea, but actually the things of your Spirit can be activated in people's lives in a very normal way. We don't have to get weird or suddenly turn it into a meeting, but in a very natural way, we can give words of knowledge. We can prophesy. We can encourage, strengthen. We can give words of knowledge and all of the different things that we've looked at this morning. So, Father, I thank you for an activating right now. Now, just talk to the Lord and talk to Him. Say, Father, I have not eagerly desired the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe you've been a bit dormant in that area. You've just, I haven't believed for those things. Maybe just ask the Lord, Father, forgive me for not believing that you've wanted to activate all of these through my life. Well, I ask you to forgive me for not believing, but I thank you that your word says that I can operate in all of these things. And so I thank you that I have every one of these gifts and I can operate in every one of these from this moment onwards. I thank you for the release of all of these gifts in my life this week, that I'll move in the discernment of spirits. I'll have words of knowledge. I'll have words of wisdom. I'll be activated with faith for specific situations. Thank you for prophetic words to encourage others and build others up and edify them. Thank you, Father, for gifts of healings this week. You want to heal other people through my life. Thank you for miracles, things that are totally impossible for us to do, but yet you do them, miraculous powers at work. I thank you for the preaching of the gospel this week. And signs and wonders are going to accompany the preaching of your word through my life this week. I thank you, Jesus. I praise your awesome name. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your mighty, wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.